candy.
Welcome in to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. We have a full show today. As always, we're going to talk about the reffing problems that happened on Sunday Night Football, how the solution to the Chiefs wide receiver problem is Rasheed Rice, what caused the defensive meltdown, and of course, our repeating segment where we talk about how bad the rest of the AFC West is, the AFC West expansion. And now a guy who wishes he could mess up as much as the Sunday Night ref crew, it's the old man himself, JP.
Hey, man, I don't know if anybody can mess up that much. I'm doing okay. That was just a disgrace to the NFL. But, you know, I really don't even – look, there was a story that came out, and I want to bring this up really quick, that one of the referees, and I guess it's that Brian – the head ref, Brian somebody, whatever his name is, the one that looks like he's never grown a hair on his face in his life – and not to mention the fact that one that caused us problems earlier in the year, came out and said that he actually, it was on an article now, whether this is 100% accurate or not, but he actually came out and said that it was he basically ignored the MVS call and the face mask call because of the call on Patrick Mahomes that shouldn't have been called for roughing, which makes zero sense because Snead got called for roughing and he didn't hit a quarterback when he was going out of bounds. And the guy was not out of bounds when he hit him. So I don't know, man. That was a nightmare. And if anybody was on earlier today, I had Christian Okoye on the show. Him and I had talked about it off the air. And he said man, back in the day when you and I were out on the field all the time, do you remember anything like that? And he goes, no. He goes, it was never like it is now. He goes, I've seen some bad ones over the last, 10 years. He goes, but that was one of the worst ones I've seen. He said that was egregious.
Yeah. Look, this is just a microcosm of how bad the NFL reffing has been, not just this year, but over the last few years. We know that this is a problem, and I don't like blaming the refs for when your team loses because Kansas City got outplayed in a lot of areas. That's not the reason why they lost. The Kansas City didn't lose because of one missed pass interference, even though that was an egregious missed call, and that's a pass interference call. That's just what it is. He impeded him from being able to make a play on the ball. The guy was – he was jumping on his back, and MVS was giving him a piggyback ride, right? It's a horrible call, a missed call, and I just – it's one of those things that needs – the flag needs to be thrown there. On the other hand, Kansas City got outplayed for the rest of the, three quarters. So I think that just sitting here and blaming the refs is not really a good way to get better and to just blame somebody else for your own problems. Your clear problems that you have on your offensive side isn't going to help you. So you need
to, if it was just that call, I'd be okay with it. But the one that they called OPI on Kelsey, he didn't even touch the guy. The face mask that they missed on the 4th-and-1 run for Green Bay, they didn't call. There was 5 calls. Ari Morrow came out after I said it on Twitter. He actually put it out after the fact and said, here are the 5 calls that the refs blatantly missed against the Chiefs.
What's up, Will?
I mean, there was 5 that I counted, and then he counted 5. The rest of them, okay, ticky-tack, whatever it is, what it is. If it would have been 1, okay, but there was 5.
I know, 5 but blatant calls. You're not going to get better. You're not if you just sit there and cross your arms and blame the refs. You can't control.
I get that part of it, and I'm not one to blame the refs either. But you know what? There comes a point, and this is something that even NFL players will tell you this. At some point, you get your momentum changes. You get down on yourself. You get down on the way the game's being played. Your mentality changes. And that's for everybody in the world. It's not just for NFL players. It's for everybody that has a job that is blatantly fucked at constantly. At some point, it starts to jack with your psyche. It's not just a matter of, okay, well, we got to play above the refs all the time. Do we have to play above the refs? Absolutely. Did we get outplayed? We did. We got outcoached. There's no doubt about that. But in the same aspect, we had multiple opportunities to score or be within scoring range that were taken away from us.
Yeah.
One was given to the Packers that they shouldn't have gotten on that fourth and one with the face mask. That should have been a 10-yard penalty. And they would have punted the ball.
On Creed Humphrey was a bad call because Creed had him inside the pads. It just, when you have a defender reaching out like he did, you know, it looks like
great acting job that the refs fell for. That's really what it was.
Yeah. So there were bad calls all game. And this is something that, once again, you know, the NFL has to fix it. When you have gambling going on these games, you know, you have to button this stuff up. You also just have, you know, if you want the best quality of play on the field, if something like this happens in the playoffs, right, like it did a few years ago, these are problems that you're going to have to fix. But Kansas City got outplayed for basically that entire game. And we can just – let's just move into, you know, the defensive side of things. Kansas City gave up almost over five yards per rush against a number three running back. He didn't break 100 yards. He got 85 yards on the day. But Kansas City, it wasn't a game where the running back just blew up everybody and was able to run whatever they wanted. But it was one of those games where when Green Bay wanted to run the ball, they were able to run the ball. And that hasn't been happened to this defense all year. And I think that you could point out you're missing your number one and number three linebacker. And so these injuries, you know, stacked up on Kansas City. But, you know, that's one of the things that it was a big problem for Kansas City.
Okay, let me ask you something. I don't know who this guy is. He does a show every week with you. But one of his fears after really week five, and kept mentioning it on the show after week five, was this defense is going to get gassed because they're on the field way too much. And eventually it's going to catch up to us. It started to catch up to us in the Raiders game. We saw it at the beginning of the Raiders game. They came out flat. They came out tired. They came out gassed. And this is not gassed from playing three quarters of one game. This is being gassed from playing three quarters of every game. And that is a problem. And then, you're right. You add in the fact that you have two of your linebackers out. You got, what's his name? Omenihu got hurt. It's one thing after another that leads up to it. And what inevitably ends up happening is that you're going to get injured. You're going to get hurt. You can't take that kind of punishment for 17 weeks, 12 weeks, 11 weeks. You can't. 67% of the time on the field in 11 games. I mean, do you know in the Raiders game in the first quarter, or I'm sorry, the first half, the Chiefs offense was on the field for 3 minutes and 12 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, and in this game, it was the least amount of drives in the entire NFL. And one of those drives for Kansas City was a single kneel down. So officially it counts, but they really had the ball twice and they ended kicking, you know, two field goals. So they scored 6 points in the first half. So Kansas City's offense, you know, they were able to move the ball. Yeah. But they weren't able to punch it in. And on the flip side of it, the Packers were able to move the ball. It comes back to that run game point, right?
Yeah.
Where Green Bay wasn't able to, they didn't break a 15-yard run or a 20-yard run or like what Josh Jacobs did a week before where he busted out that 40-yard run for a touchdown. They weren't able to do that. But what they did do is on first down, they were able to run the ball for 5 yards. On third and four, they were able to pick up the first down. And so it just keeps those drives moving, and you're only able to play so many downs before you're right. You just get gashed. And I think part of that problem was, and I have this in my notes, Kansas City didn't get a single sack. Did they get pressure? Yeah. How many times did we see Chris Jones try and run down Jordan Love? But Kansas City never got the Packers off schedule. You know, even on an incomplete pass, when they're, you know, it's first and 10, it turns into second and 10. Packers were able to run the ball for 5 yards. Now it's third and five, and you can run whatever offense that you want off of that. So it was that defense was never really able to get it going, and the injuries really stacked up. You know, you lose Brian Cook, for example. Anybody outside of Kansas City know who Brian Cook is? No. But the reason why that injury is significant is now you're downgrading at yet another position. So exactly. Things are snowballing, and we've got a big test against Buffalo coming up, because Josh Allen, while he hasn't been as good as he has, you know, over the last couple of years, Josh Allen can still sling it. You know, he can still run. Even though we've talked about the problems with the Bills offense, Josh Allen is not a guy that you can just mope around and beat. He can come in and score some points on you. So
absolutely.
You know, this defense, you can't lose them. You can't lose that elite-level play we were seeing. You need to continue to say that. And this pass rush is going to, once again, need to be on their top-level game. And last week, they simply weren't.
No, they weren't. And honestly, I mean, it's – you know, you lost two good players in the middle – early in the game, and now you got to worry about – I'm not going to – take anything away from Coltrane, because he played great.
He did.
As stepping in, and he played a great game. My fear is that the exhaustion that this defense is feeling right now, you cannot – look, man, you can't recover in 4 or 5 days, especially with practice. You can't recover from that beating that you're taking, and that the amount of energy you're exuding week in and week out. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you. And that's what's happened to us. And now the offense has to step up and take some pressure off of that defense. What upsets me, and I keep going back to this because I don't understand where these packages are coming from, but there's been 4 games this year where they put the right people in place to succeed. And those people tend to not be on the field when we're playing somebody that we, and for some reason in our minds, think that we're just going to beat. Noah Gray was he was pretty much non-existent during that Green Bay game. Pretty much non-existent. Where was Justin Watson? Not on the field. It doesn't make sense to continually go back to the same problems that you have when you know that's what causes your problems, and you end up losing, or it becomes a very close game because of certain players and certain packages.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Sky Moore is a mistake.
Let me finish my thought on the defense and we'll jump over to the offense.
Go ahead.
My sort of final thought on the defense is I don't want this to turn into a pity party. I don't want this to turn into us just sitting around complaining about the defense, because while this defense has its problems, the elite level play is still there. We know that. We've still got McDuffie and Snead, and Chris Jones is still on this team. So this is not a pity party.
Not at all.
I know you know that, but, you know, I just need to put this out there. I also just want to say that given another week, let's say that, you know, Conklin has to play a ton of snaps again. Well, now he has a week being the green dot guy. Right. Yeah. He has time now to be the main linebacker in practice and in the film study and all of that. So he'll play better. And he already played well. Right. This is a room, the linebacker room, where I've been saying all year, we've been saying all year, that this is the deepest part of the team. And it's continued to prove that. It's just hard to not be the guy and then to have to come in and be the green dot guy. And then have Spags try and run some of his complex packages. So this is a week where you now have an opportunity to sort of fill some of those holes with the same players, just because you have time to prepare for running some of these complex packages. So even if you have the same personnel, right, as you did, I think that the defense can come out and play better simply because you have time to prepare for that.
I agree with you. The one thing that I think is a positive out of this, and look, this was not a pity party situation. This is it's just a fact situation. It's no matter whose defense it is, how great they are, at some point, this kind of thing's going to happen. If things will break down, players will get injured. The good thing is that Nick Bolton practiced last week. He is practicing this week. if he comes back and he plays Sunday, he is probably going to be on a snap count or a pitch count, and probably a snap count, I guess it would be. But at least he's back in the fold. From what I've heard, there's a pretty good chance he's going to play this week. So that's a huge, huge help because, you know, he's rested and hopefully he's not, you know, he's going to be 100%. They're making sure of it before they put him back out on the field. So I think that's a plus. The fact that Drew Tranquil had a concussion, he got hit really hard in the head, a knee to the head, and that wasn't cool, doesn't mean he's not going to play this week. If he passes concussion protocol, he'll probably be out there. It's just frustrating when you know how hard this defense has worked to get to this level, and the offense kind of failed him. And Mahomes knows this. He's mentioned it numerous times. Andy knows this. He's mentioned it numerous times. Special teams has been on point. And by the way, I don't know if anybody knows this, but, you know, if God allows it and Bucker continues on his trajectory right now, he will be the only NFL kicker, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I read this correctly, he'll be the only NFL kicker in the history of the NFL to go a full season and not miss a kick. And he's 100% right now.
And you know what? Kansas City right now needs every single point they can get. They can't. This is a team that's struggling to, you know, it's not necessarily that they're struggling to move the ball. You know, it's like that, man, those
red zone points.
Man, it's the red zone. That's the red zone penalties. It's, you know, last week it was those sacks, right? It's anything that gets this team off schedule in the red zone. It seems to throw everything off. Yeah. And then you throw on top of that Kansas City keeps turning the ball over, right? This is one of the most turnover offenses in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes now has a dozen interceptions. Kansas City has fumbled the ball multiple times with all sorts of different players. So this is a team that continues to shoot themselves in the foot, and it seems to come at the worst times. The interception, which was a great interception, but that interception came in the fourth quarter. Those, you know, couple of penalties and all three of the sacks came within the red zone. It's not like these things are coming when you're at midfield or the holding penalties are ending drives, you know, on the other 20. They're coming in such key spots. And I'm getting to the point where if Kansas City is down by a touchdown or more in the 4 minute with 4 minutes left, man, last year, 2 years ago, damn near ever, the first time Patrick Mahomes touched a football, it felt like Kansas City was going to come back and win this. But it does feel like at this point where Kansas City just struggles to score touchdowns, that you're not going to get that much needed score at the end. But if Kansas City has a lead, they're really good at sitting on the ball and being able to move the ball to sort of put the game away. But they just don't seem to score those not much needed touchdowns.
I agree. And Fizz is right. It was a great interception. The defender ran the route better than Sky Moore. Here's the problem that I have with this. Sky Moore ran the route wrong. He stopped on the route. You cannot do that. You have to be in the right position. He's done that multiple times this year, and they keep going back to him. That route was run the wrong way.
This is a
I'm
good
sorry,
transition
but it was.
Into
yeah, it is.
The wide receiver room in the offense. Why do these wide receivers continue to screw up routes? Because it seems like Sky Moore continues to mess up some of these routes. MVS, and this has been a problem all year long, where MVS will be running a route down the middle of the field, and instead of cutting it back to the sideline, he cuts it over to the middle of the field where there's a safety, you know, waiting, and because, you know, the safety's playing a deep cover one, and so MVS will be running his route, and instead of cutting that route to the outside to break off and get open, wide open, instead he's breaking it off towards the middle of the field
where it's much easier, by the way, for where the safety is, and it's much easier for the corner to come in versus the safety go out to the outside and
right.
And
so help you've beat MVS is one of the few guys that consistently gets open. Right, he's yeah. beating the corner. MVS is beaten, and he's got two or three steps on him. But instead of cutting it to the outside to allow a pass to get thrown, he's cutting it to the inside and running into the safety right there. And it's like you are running a route to be covered, right?
Yeah. So
it's like,
yeah, you're actually trying to get yourself covered.
Just go, just like cut it to the sideline.
And think about it, Quentin. Think about it. That safety that's in the middle, that's that deep safety that's sitting in the middle, is waiting for whoever we have running down the middle of the sideline or down the left hash mark. So if for any reason whatsoever MVS did his job and ran the route and stayed on the outside, that safety would have to make a decision. Do I stick with my guy or do I break off and go help over the top with MVS? That leaves MVS in man coverage instead of being double covered if he stays on the outside 90% of the time.
Enough to do a double cover. Double cover.
No, he's not. So why the fuck do you run on the inside when you know that the corner is going to come over because he's got nobody else to cover? So he's going to come over and help the safety. That's just stupid on his part.
Yeah, just
break. And they have to fix that problem.
It just. I want to see Rashee Rice run some of those deep routes.
Me too.
Because at this point, why not? I think that there's just so much, and I think we've said on this show, and I think just the general thought process is like trust, right? Do you trust this guy in that moment, or do you trust him to make that catch? And we've talked about in Kansas City about the drops, but I think maybe even a bigger problem is the route running ability of these guys. And as fans, as people not into the room, you know, we don't get to see the piece of paper that says, oh, this is what route he's supposed to run on this play.
Yeah.
So that is harder for us to look at and be like, well, that was wrong. But we see a guy drop a pass and we know that's not right. So it takes more time for us to figure out these problems, right? But man, it's getting to the point where it's like we're 12 weeks into this bad boy. Yeah. How is a guy like Sky Moore or a guy like really any – I mean, we've seen Watson be not in the spot where the ball is going. MVS, who's been in the system for 2 years now. Like, we've seen a lot of these guys be in the spot where the ball is not being thrown. And I just feel like at this point – you should know that. You should know where Mahomes wants you to be. You should know where the route is supposed to take you. And it's just so frustrating when you see offenses around the league where they'll scheme guys open. And this offense with this skill guys just can't seem to find anybody open. And at a certain point, I have to blame the players and the coaching. And I'm not just talking Andy Reid. I'm talking the wide receiver coach. I'm talking about Matt Nagy. I'm talking about the whole system. The whole system needs to be looked at because there is something broken here. I don't think it's just personnel, because we had this exact same personnel group minus Rice and
last year.
Yeah. Everything else is the same. And you literally had the best offense in the NFL last year. How do you go from worse to almost worse? Like, it is such a drastic change. And it's not even just like the numbers. It looks so much different. This isn't just something where you like look at the numbers. They're like 9 touchdowns worse this year. No, it looks sluggish. It just looks difficult. And the entire time Patrick Mahomes has been the head of this offense, I don't want to say it looks easy, because this is professional football and nothing is easy.
He just makes it look easy. He makes it look effortless.
It's like, it looks easy. This is the same team that last year or 2 years ago scored 28 points against the Raiders in one quarter. This is the same team that a few years ago in a playoff game came back from a deficit, you know, and they ran out of fireworks in the first half. Like, it's the same core guys, and you just aren't able to do it. And I don't know why. And so at this point, I'm blaming everybody. Everybody has a straw to draw here. I don't know who has the longest straw, but everybody in this offense has got a straw.
I've been saying this for a few weeks. I'm glad you ranted, and I agree with you. I've been saying this for a few weeks. I think a lot of this has to do with the coaching staff. There has been a change.
When it does. When the problem is so wide, when it's so widespread, it has to be on the coaching because
it has to be.
All of these guys are professionals, right? Like, and we see the talent that these guys have. Yes, a drop is on the specific wide receiver, but we know that MVS has had drop issues. He's had it his entire career, and it's unfortunate that he had his biggest drop of the year against the Eagles. That sucks. Okay, but there have been more moments throughout the entire season where it's been more than drops, and in a micro view, it's harder to see those small issues like, correct, you know, breaking in instead of breaking out. Or earlier, I don't even remember what game it was, but MBS sat on a curl route and, you know, it was a 3rd and 10. And instead of coming back to the ball, he just sat there and the corner came up and slapped the ball down. You are 6'4". You're a big guy. Use your body and block guys out to be able to go and get the ball. It's how guys like Ja'Marr Chase are able to be so successful, or guys like Mike Evans, right? They're able to use their big body, their big frame, and not run into guys, but are just simply able to get in front of guys and snag the ball, go and catch
it. And then muscle the ball out of the air. Yeah, you muscle the ball out of the air.
None of these wide receivers are going to the football. They're just sitting and waiting. Well, there are other guys wearing the white jersey that are trying to not get you to go to the ball. So why don't you get there first? It's not that hard of a concept.
Exactly.
I said I wasn't done with my rant.
I agree with you. I mean, it's hard because you got a new wide receivers coach, you got a new offensive coordinator. You know, new-ish, but regardless, he didn't really play. I mean, he didn't do a whole lot with Mahomes his last year here. Yeah, he was with Mahomes. He knew his greatness. He watched him on the practice field. He watched him, you know, during that time frame. But he didn't really get to coach with him very well. You're talking about, you know, this is a 5-6 year span, 7 year span between Mahomes being a rookie and being the greatest quarterback in football. So you have to allot for that. And you have to say, okay, wait a minute. This man's been doing this without me being here. Maybe I'm fucking shit up. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. But, you know, somebody mentioned to me the other day about the wide receiver coach. Yes, because he couldn't speak, they thought he was not a good coach. Brett Veach is a terrible speaker. But he's a great GM for the most part. I don't think he was prepared for that job. I'm sorry, I just don't think he wasn't prepared for that job. Because I believe, look, Andy can't be everywhere. Your offensive coordinator can't be everywhere. That's why you have assistants. That's why you have a wide receivers coach, an offensive line coach, you know, a running backs coach. Because you have to have people that can teach these guys, you know, coach these guys up. And I have a weird, strange feeling that between Nagy and he's somewhat conservative, especially when he doesn't put a lot of trust in people. And if you go back and you look at the stats that Philip just put up a little bit ago, he's 100% correct. It's pretty fucking sad that Mahomes went from, you know, basically 30 points a game. Alex Smith, the last year that Nagy was with him, was putting up 25.9 points a game. And this year Mahomes is putting up 22.
Look,
there's a problem there, man. I mean, it's a problem. It is a problem within the system that has to be fixed. Andy has to fix that problem because he is the head coach. He wants to take the blame for everything. I get all of that. I could have called the, you know, if you listen to him, well, I could have put these guys in a better position. I could have done this. I could have done that. Well, that's all fine and dandy. But if your fucking wide receiver coach isn't teaching them the plays that you're handing the wide receiver coach to teach them and giving the right cadence, or they don't understand the play calls because he's not giving them the right direction, that's a fucking problem. And that has to be corrected. So if you don't have, if this guy's not doing his job, and these wide receivers that we had last year that were playing, balling out last year all year long, and you got a fucking rookie that is right now on par to beat Juju's numbers from last year, there's a fucking problem. And that problem stems from coaching. I'm sorry, but it does.
Yeah, and
it just is what it is.
I think, you know, Patrick Mahomes is never going to go to a podium and say, you know, MBS ran the wrong route. That's not on me. That's on him. He needs to be better. He's never going to do that. He could come out and sling the ball and go 43 for 44. And that one missed pass is a drop on a wide open pass. And Patrick Mahomes would come to the podium after a hypothetical loss. And he would say, I got to hit that one. It's like, the rest of the game, maybe I put a little more finesse on it.
Yeah,
I gotta be better. I gotta throw the ball to a position that my guy's gotta be able to catch it. So
that's and he actually said that do. About the MVS drop in the Eagles game. Yes. I don't know if you remember that. He actually said
That's what he will do. That's what he will always do. He's a leader. That's just how he's gonna do it. Andy Reid's very similar in that way. Andy Reid will never come to the podium and be like, yeah, I'm doing everything I need to do. It's that wide receiver coach that isn't telling them that they need to come back on a curl route.
Exactly.
So you're never going to know that sort of stuff. And it's just from watching it, I just can't – we're to the point where I can't sit back and just think, man, this is a personnel issue. I think the problem is deeper than that. With that being said, this is not a pity party, okay?
No.
Let's talk about something that I really like from the offense on –
Do you think
that
the guys –
that I really like. Oh, let's answer Will's question. Will asked, do you think the Chiefs will stop the rotation of the wide receivers this game? Trim the fat. That's what I wanted to get to. Trim the fat. I don't want to see as many. I don't want to see nine guys get targets. Okay. If you have four or five guys that are being productive throughout the whole season, I don't need nine guys going out and getting receptions. Give it to the five guys. Okay.
I agree, TJ.
I know that might sound a little crazy, but trim the fat. I don't need all of these guys getting one target a game. Give that.
This isn't the same
else.
Team as we. Okay, look, we may have the same players this year, for the most part, with the exception of Juju, and then the addition of Rashee Rice. But it's still a different football team in some aspects. You got a 32-year-old in McKinnon. That played a lot. I mean, he really played in every game last year. He hasn't this year. He's been very limited. He's limited in the red zone. If anybody remembers last year, he was one of our best, in fact, the best red zone threat we had. He's not been in the red zone, but maybe three times this entire season. So it's very difficult to go, okay, wait, we spread the ball around a lot last year. And we were successful at it. Why aren't we this year? We're not this year because you have an older player. You have a wide receiver coach that's not coaching these guys up. You have Sky Moore, and I'm going to say it right now. He needs to be moved on the depth chart way back. When your fourth and fifth string wide receivers are doing better than him, a.k.a. Justin Watson, it's time to move him back. When your rookie is out playing him like he's a fucking Girl Scout, it's time to move him back. Look, it's that simple.
It's compared to other sport, baseball, right? You go to the hot hand, okay? If you have a eighth inning guy that at the beginning of the year you're like, man, this is our guy, and he's come out and he's blown the last three opportunities. But you got this other guy that's come up and is just throwing darts. You put the guy in that's been throwing darts. You go to the hot hand because that's the way sports works, right? I mean, that's the way life works. If you hypothetically put yourself at a job that has an uber competitive environment, it's the same thing. You turn to the guy that's been killing it lately, okay? Give it to the guy that's been killing it lately. There's a guy by the last name of Rice doing great. And one of the points that I want to get into is I lost the comment. I think Philip might have put it up there, but it was talking about Pacheco and how Pacheco got the ball like 20 times. Thank you. Yes, do that. I like Pacheco touching the ball. You know why? Yeah. Because Pacheco's good. And I mean, he's also good at throwing punches, but you know, don't do that. He's also just good when he gets the ball in his hand. He has a flaw where I swear the guy wears horse blinders and is unable to make a cutback. But man, when he sees that hole, he's able to hit it. He just can't, you know, like look over here.
Yeah, and it's sporadic with that too, if you've noticed. There's times that he does make good cutbacks, and then there's times he makes none. But some of that just has to do with the amount of speed that he puts into. As soon as he gets the ball in his hand, he is just jetting. And that's part of his problem. But Pacheco has become one of those guys that not only is a great running back. I mean, at one point last week, he was running for 7 yards a carry.
Here's that's our fucking offense. Insane. This is our offense right now. And I've got no beef with it. Okay? Pacheco. It's Pacheco, Kelce, and Rice. And then a little bit of sprinkles on top. That's like, you know, Gray and some of the other guys that I've actually been able to be dependent on. So that's our offense right now. I think that's what you have to be moving forward because
but you
those
have
are the
to
guys
look at
that
Richie
have
James.
Consistent.
You know what? Richie James is a great wide receiver.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what he's able to do. I do think that he can be, I don't want to call him an X factor because I don't think that's accurate, but he's a guy that can be able to step up. I said at the beginning of the season, before he got hurt, that he could be a 750 yard receiver. But you know, he got hurt. So we still don't really know what he can be in this offense, but I'd much rather give snaps to him than Mecole Hardman. You know, I'd still much rather give snaps to him than MVS or at this point than Sky Moore, because I know what I have in some of these guys. I don't know what I have in James. So, you know, this
well,
is
here's
the
here, this is something that's scary, and I want you to look at it from this perspective. Since week 4, there are 3 quarterbacks with 105 plus passer rating. Do you know who those 3 are?
Shoot.
Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, and sorry, my screen shut off. Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, and Justin Fields of all fucking quarterbacks. 105.0 plus passer rating, minimum of 100 attempts. There's only 3. Patrick Mahomes isn't in the running for that right now. Now, here's a good thing. Last week, as bad as he played, he had a 96.4 passer rating. And he really didn't play that bad. Patrick is still on par right now. Let's put this in perspective. He's still on par for, I think, 4,000 plus yards and 36 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. Look, Patrick Mahomes is still great. It's just that, one, there's 2 things. One, we just have such high expectations for this offense and this team that because of what they've done, and we should have high expectations, right? That's just the way that it is here in Kansas City. But also, this offense was literally number 1 last year. And it's taken such a step back. You know, this hasn't been like over the last couple of years, they've been from 1 to 5 to 7. No, it's like it's 1. And now where when you're trying to make a late playoff push in December, you know, Christmas is in just a couple of weeks. You can't have this. You have to be better.
Let me ask you, given the fact that we have changed little other than the fact, I mean, as far as person on-field personnel is concerned, we've changed very little. What has changed is the packages that they're put in and when they're on the field. We've noticed, I think everybody's noticed, I noticed it from going back to the fucking Chicago game. Our packages work best when, what's he saying? He said, fellas, all this Dolphins talk and the hype is making me sick. what I've noticed is that when you have the certain players in the right packages, which they've done 4 times this year, 4 times. We're going into week 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they've done it 4 times. In those 4 games, when they put the right people on the field, they blow teams out of the water. It doesn't matter who they are.
Yeah, the firepower is still there.
Kansas City's offense is like using gasoline
before they figured out that you needed to put lead in it. You know, we're like 1901 gasoline. You know, you're just misfiring some pistons.
We're firing musket guns. It's like firing musket guns. You got to pack the fucking ball and hope it hits somebody.
Yeah, it's like the car still moves, but man, it's clacking, it's loud, and you better do some maintenance on it, otherwise it might blow up in your face.
Well, the maintenance right now, is sticking with the guys that work. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Raiders defense or if you're playing the Packers defense. You still know who is out on the field that is going to be able to create separation for someone else. They may not be the best at catching the ball, or maybe they're not even going to get targeted on, you know, if they're out there 80% of the time and they get targeted 5%. Who gives a shit? They're the ones that are creating separation for other players. We watched it in the Raiders game. We watched it in the Chicago game. We watched it in the other team we smacked around pretty good.
We smacked around the Dolphins pretty good.
The Dolphins.
At least in the first half.
In the first half. In the first fucking half. Again, with this bullshit of changing shit up. Why make adjustments? Man, I don't understand the if it ain't broke, don't fix it thing. Why are we making adjustments on the offense in the after the first half when everything has worked perfectly? It doesn't make sense. You got guys out there that make that create separation. You know who one of the best is to help Kelce out? Fucking Noah Gray. Go back and watch all 22.
I think
Noah Gray creates so much fucking separation for Kelce. It's insane. But yet,
I think this team needs to run more 21 personnel. TJ Sports
Absolutely
Network asks about Zach Ertz. I don't think Zach Ertz does much for you. Zach Ertz hasn't been, you know, the guy since 2019. I know that he got cut and it wasn't a performance thing. It was in sort of a mutual splitting. Honestly, I think he should go to Baltimore, you know, just because Baltimore needs a tight end and they have some cap space. But I just don't think that Zach Ertz does a ton for you because Noah Gray already does a ton of the things that Zach Ertz is capable of doing now. And if you get Zach Ertz in here, if we're already complaining that Noah Gray doesn't get on the field enough, how do you feel about Zach Ertz in this offense? So
the only thing I would say about that, here you go. There's another fucking lovely statement. Thanks, Philip. I needed another thing to run my night.
You're talking to me. Your night's not ruined.
It's true. The only thing that would help, and I will say this, I'm not a big proponent either way, but what would help is running a three tight end set, which we're not able to do with Blake Bell. So
yeah, but
we were able to do that with Jody Fortson. Well, they did though. If you remember, they did with Jody Fortson and it worked. When you had Gray, Kelce, and Fortson out on the field, that was a great package to have out on the field.
Yeah, I just don't think that they would run it enough.
They may not.
If we already want them to run more 21 personnel and, you know, they're not doing it, how they bring in Zach Ertz, they're not just going to completely flip their mind and then run more three tight end sets. I just don't think that that's what they're going to do.
I mean, look, if it's a matter of – here's my thing. If it's a matter of bringing Zach Ertz in and running a three tight end set and getting Sky Moore off the field – I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I like Sky Moore to a degree. My problem with him is that he's not taking any responsibility for his own mistakes. This is now the second game that he has made mistakes in that he has went in and said that it wasn't said it wasn't his fault. I don't like that.
Everybody's got to get better.
Everybody's got to get better.
Except Mahomes.
But it starts with coaching. I'm sorry. It starts with coaching.
All right, we got 15 minutes left in the show. We've got our AFC West expansion. Three teams to talk about, 5 minutes per team. We go in alphabetical order because otherwise I would forget about a team. So let's talk about the Denver Broncos. Denver had a really bad game. Well, they were facing the Texans. I don't know if I would call it really bad. They lost to the Texans 22-17. Once again, Russell Wilson tried to cook, but caused a grease fire, and they lose an important game. They no longer have the tiebreaker against the Texans, which isn't going to be important because they probably would have wanted to use that in order to make a wild card playoff spot. But unfortunately for them, you know, they're going to miss out on that. What I think might end up being a very important tiebreaker for a late season playoff push.
Yeah, I Look, the Broncos had a little bit of a – we gave them their momentum. There's no doubt about that. We came out flat, gave them their momentum. They went on a streak. They won, what, five straight?
Yeah.
After that? Okay. And then they played a DeMarco Ryan's defense that they've never played. And they also played a kid that is on top of the world right now. I mean, he's
absolutely – Yeah, CJ Stroud, man.
He is absolutely, no doubt in my mind, should be Offensive Player of the Year, and he probably should be Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind. The kid is that good. He's come out guns a-blazing. He reminds me, I'm telling you, the kid reminds me of Mahomes in some ways. He's got a lot of his traits. Think about, if you go back and watch him play, he has some Mahomes traits. I'm not saying he's Mahomes. Nobody is. But you can tell that he studied how Mahomes plays the game.
I would call him more like an Andrew Luck type. You know, when Andrew Luck got into the league, you know, he was very confident. I mean, the last rookie head coach, rookie quarterback to make the playoffs during their first year was Chuck Pagano and Andrew Luck. So
I know, but Andrew Luck didn't have the mobility that CJ Stroud has.
I think people forget how mobile Andrew Luck was before his injuries.
He was mobile, but he wasn't quick-footed like CJ Stroud is. CJ can get himself out of situations, and that's where he reminds me of Mahomes, because he gets himself out of situations similar to the Mahomes does and is able to make something out of nothing. And he's quick, he's got quick feet.
Yeah,
so that's where the similarity comes from with me. And he's a very accurate quarterback that stays very calm for a rookie.
Yeah, he's a guy that doesn't seem to get fazed by anything. Russell Wilson he passed for 186 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions, including the game-sealing one in the back of the end zone, which was just a piss-poor throw.
It was.
So the Broncos fall to 6-6 and are really looking to stay in the playoff hunt here late in the season. Yeah. Moving on to the Chargers somehow.
Oh, my God.
God, this is why I have NFL Red Zone.
How
this game right here.
You not if have this a game, touchdown on either side of the ball.
If this game was on, it was a nationally televised game and was the only game I could watch, I'd have turned it off.
Oh, I'd have watched The fucking Bachelor before I watched that, and I hate The Bachelor.
Oh, my God. So the Chargers beat the New England Patriots 6-0. They scored two field goals. No touchdowns were scored in this game, obviously. The Patriots are the first team since the 1938 Cardinals or something like that to keep three teams under 10 points and lose all three of them. The Patriots are bad. The Chargers are a joke. And it's just another example of how bad the Chargers are. Justin Herbert had 212 passing yards at times, just didn't look good. I mean,
he's done. Look, dude, I'm sorry. I like Justin Herbert. I think he's a good quarterback. He's in a shit system, shit organization, and I think he's finally just fed up.
I think Justin Herbert is also, I'm starting to feel like Justin Herbert just checks the ball down too much, and part of it has to be on him. Chargers fall to 5-7. They're technically third in the AFC West, but I just don't see them, you know, really making any sort of significant push because Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen can't continue to carry this team. That defense is still bad. And the Chargers.
And,
Chargers.
You know, the sad part of that entire game was the leading player on that team was Khalil Mack.
Yeah,
he was the best player on that football team during that game.
He leads the team in sacks. Now, part of the thing is that he had like six sacks in one game, and that's not even an exaggeration. So
no, he did. He absolutely did. I like what Phillip said. That's what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about when I was talking about CJ Stroud. It's his demeanor. It's the way he comes across, the way he commands the huddle, the way he talks to his teammates. You can see him taking ownership And it seems very comfortable and natural. That's how Mahomes has been his entire career. That's the similarities that I see, along with the fact that he's very quick-footed. Is he as dynamic? Hell no. Is he able to throw the accurate, you know, vertical, horizontal, pretzel-style passes that Mahomes? Fuck no, he can't. Nobody can. But he has some traits. That's all I was getting at. I think with the Chargers, I don't know why they haven't fired Staley yet. I guess they're going to wait until the end of the year now because they really don't have much. I mean, what are they going to do? It's not going to help their season any. So you can fire him now or you can fire him at the end of the season, but he's definitely gone. No way he stays. He knows he's out. I guarantee you Herbert's already rallied for that to happen if they want to keep him around. That is just a terrible organization. They continually, year after year, just get worse.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm fine with that.
Yeah. He said Herbert's got leadership. He's got confidence. He's got awareness. He just has the elements to be a
great player. There's something about Justin Herbert, and I just feel like he chucks the ball. He goes to the check down too often. I think, and maybe that's, I want to say it's a scheme thing, but new offensive coordinator, he's got decent weapons.
He's got four of them.
I don't know, man. I think Herbert just has, sometimes he's just checking the ball down and he misses open receivers. I'm starting to go that direction.
You know who it's reminding me of? You know what it's reminding me of right now? That whole system is reminding me exactly what the Raiders did to Derek Carr. 8 years, 7 different offensive coordinators.
Yeah, I mean, there's been Baker Mayfield is another guy that he had so many different Alex Smith. Right.
Yeah.
It's another guy that he had 4 offensive coordinators in the first 4 years. So this is, it's not uncommon or it's not unheard of. It is uncommon. And you kind of just screw a guy over by changing languages every single year.
It's kind of like if you look at the Carolina Panthers, they fired 3 head coaches in the middle of the season, 3 years straight.
Yeah.
Who's the next guy that's going to go there and say, I want this job?
Besides
maybe Eric Bieniemy.
Whoever, I was going to say the guy that feels like he doesn't have a choice.
I understand, but you have to go into that job knowing that you're playing for a terrible owner, an owner that gets involved in everything and knows nothing about football, and yet you'll probably get fired halfway through the season.
Maybe the CJ or the Bryce Young thing is a eye-opening moment for him. You know, where he's like, damn, I really fucked this up by getting involved. Maybe I can take a step back. But, you know, whatever. I thought that they should have went with CJ Stroud and that I didn't want a minion from Despicable Me as my quarterback.
So, well, I get that. But Phillip's got not a bad idea. You know, Frank Reich would be actually a pretty good coach.
That would be interesting.
Chargers, yeah.
Now we got the Raiders. The Raiders, who are 4th in the AFC West, all is right with the world. They were on a bye week. They will take on the Vikings on Sunday. This is a game that looked much more difficult 2 weeks ago. Even last week, it looked much more difficult than what it does now. So this is a opportunity for the Raiders to, I don't know, not end up in last place. But the problem is that I had them picked as finishing last in the AFC West, and I'd really like to be right. So stay down at the bottom, Raiders. You're doing great.
Well, honestly, I mean, their motivation is there. I think they're probably going to end up third. I think the Chargers are going to be up dead last. I think the Raiders actually have enough. Maybe it's confidence in their coaching staff now. And in their players, and then Aiden O'Donnell is stepping up and getting a little bit better each week. I have a feeling it's going to end up being the Chargers dead last this year. I think the Raiders will come in third. I don't think either one of them are going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to come in third. I just have that feeling. I don't think they're going to beat us, but they do have an okay schedule moving forward. Who knows? But, yeah, I can't see how either one of those teams are going to come out of third and fourth. I think it's just going to flip-flop. I think the Broncos are going to get by just simply because their defense has stepped up. Russell Wilson has his spurts. He's had the best game as a Bronco at 280 yards. You know, and prior to that, his best game was 180 yards. And prior to that, his best game was 118 yards. So he's averaging 165 yards a game.
And since he's been a Bronco. When your defense is stepping up and you're not making mistakes, you can win like that. And
you can.
Over the last, you know, last week against the Texans, when you throw three interceptions and you're not doing anything else to win the game, that's what happens.
Exactly. So, exactly.
That is the AFC West expansion.
That is that. Oh, let's talk about something really quick. We got the Bills coming up.
Yep.
Sunday.
And we will do a show on that game on Thursday.
Correct. But let's bring one thing up about this game. You brought up Josh Allen coming out, going crazy, you know, trying to prove something. I hope he does. Because every time Josh Allen does this, no, Von Miller, I don't think, well, Von Miller's going to play Sunday. That was something else I was going to bring up. Anytime Josh Allen goes against a team, doesn't matter who it is, he cannot help himself but to go deep, try to play hero ball, and against this secondary, even without Cook, that is going to be extremely hard for him to do. He has not played this secondary. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a game that this secondary – I see Josh Allen having some issues during this game. As far as Von Miller is concerned, I doubt very seriously if he plays this week. What I'm confused about, and I guess I am pissed about, is the fact that Justin Ross got put on the exempt list and is still not off of it, and his charges were dropped, but yet Von Miller has the same exact issue, and this has been not the first time the same issue has happened, and he's not on the exempt list, and they're waiting it out. That irritates me.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that way. Von Miller's had multiple issues like this. Justin Ross has never had a fucking speeding ticket. I don't know why. I loved Von Miller as a player. I like the fact that he modeled his game after my best friend ever was Derek Thomas, but you can't do those kinds of things. And Goodell has got to quit picking and choosing and let that this right now, I mean, they're supposed to be up to that Susie, whatever her name is, to put people on the exempt list for DV cases. Yet he's not on it. So that tells me that Goodell stepped in some way. That's kind of what it's given me the indication of. Oh, it's Justin Ross. Who's he? Oh, yeah, I forgot. He was that guy that had the boot on his foot. Kansas City signed him. Fucking put him on the exempt list. Who cares if there's real evidence or not? Oh, it's Von Miller. He's had multiple issues like this. Now he has another one. Let's just go ahead and let him ride it out. That's wrong, man.
Yeah, sorry. Look, it's a lot like reffing in the NFL, right? It's the
absolutely
inconsistency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
if you have, if
I
you
have a
standard, follow the standard. And
go ahead.
I just think that it's the inconsistency, and that's the frustrating part.
It is. I will say this. I do have it on good authority that there will be some changes within the referee system next year in the 2024 season. And they are going to implement some other things that they're trying out right now, experimental stuff that they're not using in any games, but they are trying it out to see if it's going to help clean up some of these messes.
I hope so.
Well, here's what. Here's what I do know. It can't just be one team. It's similar to when Andy Reid finally took everything to the NFL and said, look, this is what you're doing to Taylor. This is what I did to prove it. What are you going to do about it? And then no other team helped him out with that. Then Taylor gets targeted for 9 games after that. Now it's NFL owners and coaches getting together and going, okay, wait a minute. This is a collective problem. It's not just about the Chiefs. It's not just about the Cowboys. It's not just about the Giants. It's about every fucking NFL team out there, and especially all the elite teams that are actually in the hunt to be somewhere. And they're getting together and they're going, okay, this has to be fixed. So now everybody, the NFLPA is getting involved. The NFL committee's getting involved. Everybody's getting involved, and they're trying to make a change. I know that for a fact on from a good authority. So if the changes happen, fantastic. I hope they do, because it has to be fixed. But with that being said, I don't have anything else. Do you?
I like I said, changes need to happen. We've been talking about this basically the entire life I've been on this podcast, but even going back, you know, change, you need change. And, and like I said, you need, not only do you need to make your rules, but you need to be consistent about them. And that's really the biggest thing. If it's going to be, if you're going to call, you know, a spade here, it's gotta be a spade over here. And that's the frustrating part, is that it's not.
Here's another issue too, that I want you to think about, and everybody on the show right now. I wasn't really old enough or remember, other than just seeing highlights, but the referees at one point were full-time employees of the NFL. And I do remember that, because that was up until, I think, the late '90s, early 2000, or no, actually 2010 maybe. But at the end of the game, if they made a mistake, they actually had to go in front of the media on the field and explain why they made that mistake, why they made that call.
Yeah, now they just have a pool reporter.
Exactly. That has to change. If they don't want the NFL referees to have to leave with armed guards every time they leave a stadium, they either need to pay them correctly, get the right people involved, put 20 guys in the booth in New York that can watch every single game that's going on and saying, hey, wait, you made a mistake. Hold off. Let's review it, like they do in the playoffs, or they're going to continue to have issues.
Yeah.
And that's something that they're looking into right now. So anyway, with that being said, this is a great show. Glad we got it out of the way. We got the Bills coming up. It's going to be a fun game. What's he saying? Who do you guys think should start at left tackle this week? Who do you think, Quentin?
I mean, I see what you have in Morris, in my opinion, but
that's how I feel. I think Wanya Morris is probably the right answer. I mean, it can't hurt anything. He's a bulldozer, and he's smart. So why not put him there? You know, it's. I will tell you guys this: Veach likes to play the guys he pays. That is a problem. Most GMs that are smart usually go that direction, but you also have to look at the other side of it and go, okay, wait, I know I paid him a lot of money. I fucked up. Maybe this guy can do us a better job. Maybe he can get us back to a Super Bowl. And that goes for every position on the field. It doesn't matter if it's wide receivers, doesn't matter if it's tackles or linemen or anyone else. You have to put the right people on the field to succeed, no matter what you did to pay these guys. And if you made a mistake, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you made the mistake.
Yeah.
It's that simple. You don't want to piss off the best quarterback in football. You don't want to piss off the best defensive lineman in football. You don't want to piss off the best tight end in football. So it's time to swallow your pride, put the right people on the field to succeed. That's all I got to say. With that being said, we will talk to you guys on Thursday, and we appreciate this for doing the producing of this show. Please like and subscribe. Make sure you go to the PSF app if you haven't already. Join, because we do a live game cast every game. It's kind of like a Manning cast, but you guys are involved. You get to jump on, say what you want, do what you want. There's no restrictions. There's no ESPN restrictions. There's no TV restrictions. If you want to say go fuck yourself, you can absolutely say it. With that being said, we appreciate everybody, and we will talk to you guys again on Thursday. Peace out, everybody.